From our studio in our office at the corner of 8th and Walton in Bentonville, Arkansas, welcome to Saturday Morning Meeting, brought to you in part by Dun & Bradstreet Credibility Corp., the leading provider of credit and credibility solutions for businesses. Saturday Morning Meeting covers Walmart, Sam's Club, and the consumer product companies that are represented on the racks and shelves throughout the country and around the world. Our focus is on the insights, trends, and best practices to help you as a supplier grow your business with the world's largest retailer. I'm Andy Shook, and thanks for joining us. Today, in Swimming in a Sea of Data, Jeff Amerine talks with Fernando Salido of IRI about the proliferation of small store formats. And then we'll meet with Steve Jadida of Continental Mills to talk about one of America's favorite foods. Is it an appetizer? Is it a between meals snack? Or is it a dessert? That's for you to decide. But first, the headlines. Walmart leadership is making e-commerce a top priority, but recent numbers from Comscore show that Walmart hasn't caught up with Amazon in site visits yet. 24/7 Wall Street notes that Amazon had 95.4 million unique visitors to its site. Walmart.com only received 34.1 million. The article goes on to suggest that Amazon's success is due in part to its exclusive product offerings, such as Kindle and Fire Phone, as well as its video streaming services. August saw a surprising jump in retail sales. Investors.com reports that retail numbers were 5.3% higher than the year before, beating predictions of a 4.2% increase. Now, analysts are giving credit for the robust sales to both increased consumer confidence and as back-to-school promotions. Now, Walmart's efforts to bring manufacturing back to the United States hit a speed bump recently when a supplier, Arkansas-based Redmond & Associates, suspended manufacturing operations in Rogers. Now, according to NWAOnline.com, the company was forced to close its Rogers plant and lay off staff after a Chinese importer allegedly breached its business agreement with Redmond. The case is now in court. We'll keep you posted on the outcome. CVS Pharmacy recently made good on its promise to discontinue selling tobacco products. The company's rationale was simple. Now, as a company that cares for the health of its customers, it seemed contradictory to sell cigarettes and chewing tobacco. Forbes.com reports that so far, other retailers, they're not following suit. The article points out that the Walmart brand, for example, isn't strongly connected to the idea of a healthy lifestyle, so continuing to sell tobacco doesn't pose a contradiction. Some American big box retailers have had a few challenges breaking into the Canadian market, but both Walmart and Target are determined to succeed up north. MeatPoultry.com reports that Walmart International CEO David Cheesewright told an audience at the Goldman Sachs Global Retailing Conference that Walmart Canada will focus on grocery sales. Walmart has added grocery sales to 260 stores in Canada and plans to continue expansion in this division. Walmart, CVS, Best Buy, and Target will soon have their own shared mobile wallet and smartphone payment system. The collaboration was announced back in 2012, and GigaOM.com reports that the new system is now called CurrentC. The payment system will not only allow customers to pay for in-store purchases with their smartphones, but will also incorporate loyalty cards and digital coupon redemption. The product is currently being tested in select stores, and CurrentC's developer, MCX, plans a national launch in 2015. Healthy eaters may soon have even more choices when it comes to home grocery delivery. Whole Foods has connected with Instacart, a delivery service that works with several grocery chains to provide delivery services in its 15 cities. While the Fiscal Times reports that some analysts are unimpressed by the new service, Whole Foods' entry into the market underscores the increasing importance of home delivery in the industry. This week, Jeff Amerine and Fernando Salido of IRI dive into the data surrounding small footprint stores.
Today I'm here with Fernando Salido, Vice President of Consumer and Shopper Marketing at IRI. We're going to discuss the impact of the small footprint stores and what you guys are learning about that. Thanks very much for coming on.
My pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Tell us a little bit about what IRI does.
Sure. IRI is a market measurement company that tracks not only point of sale information for manufacturers and retail, but also shopper insight trends, shopper behavior. We do our own primary research, advanced analytics, and consulting for retailers and every business that calls on those retailers.
It's a comprehensive set of tools and services that you provide.
It's big data under one house.
Got it. So what are you learning? Everybody's talking about omnichannel. They're talking about the smaller footprint stores. What are you learning? What's the data telling you at this point?
We've been studying small store formats and shopper behavior over the last 18 months, and you might be surprised to know that for a long time, small, medium-sized stores account for 90% of all stores. In fact, the large supercenter types of stores only account for a very small portion.
Kind of a recent anomaly, in a way.
Well, it's not a recent anomaly in terms of structure, but what we're seeing is three times the growth on small store formats in recent years. In fact, for small store formats, say dollar stores, drug stores, they're 68% of stores, but they accounted for 75% of all store count growth in the last 3 years.
What do you attribute that to?
So what we're seeing is really, I think, if you think about the large store formats, they account for 15% on average of all stores, but 80% of sales. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of share to gain from those large store formats. And that's what the small store formats see. Even though they represent the vast majority of stores, they're still underrepresented, you might say, in terms of their fair share of sales. And so what these stores allow them to do is try to win back convenience trips, quick trips, fill-in trips that they would otherwise lose to large store formats.
What are you seeing on total, on impact around trips? What's that looking like?
The impact is that today, if you think about stock-up trips, the traditional shopping list cart that typically is 20 items or more, it's about 11% of all trips today. That's it. But it makes up a third of all sales. The vast majority of trips are actually quick trips and fill-in trips. Mm-hmm. Well, the number one factor for those types of trips is convenience, something that larger store formats are struggling with. So you end up going to the more, the closer smaller store format, be it drug, dollar, and because you see a blurring of category offerings, it's very easy to go into a dollar store or another small format store, even a small grocery store, and pick up items that otherwise you'd have to wait for a stock up trip to do.
Sure.
So I think that there's a lot of change towards smaller trips, more convenient, and then we see the explosion of digital having its own impact.
Right.
All of this to gain some of that 80% of share that large store formats have today.
And I guess the larger players, Walmart notably, would be able to maintain a lower price even with the smaller footprint stores. So they can take from others that might be pricing up for convenience.
Right. Well, what we see is kind of a symmetry of information, which I think Savings Catcher is trying to go after. And what I mean by asymmetry is that everyone promotes now. And if you have a convenience store and you're just there for a couple of items and you're promoting, you feel like you're doing just fine. Mm-hmm. Even though someone else from an EDLP perspective might have a lower price. So I'm not sure that pricing power, if you will, is enough to move a trip that would have been driven by convenience to a large store format where you might have to drive out of your way and maybe suffer some what people would consider inconvenient today, which was not inconvenient just a few years ago.
Sure, so it'd lead you to believe that the real estate side of this and getting the small footprint stores out rapidly is going to be key.
And that's why even today, Dollar General rather, came out with a hostile tender offer for Family Dollar, because that allows you to create a much broader footprint with small stores already in place. So there is something to the convenience factor, which, by the way, digital is going to do much better than brick and mortar in general. So we're at the nascent stages, frankly, of changes in shopper behavior and trip trends as a result of these new ways in which we can offer and complete small and convenient store trips.
You know, and also getting to convenience, there's a lot of discussion about last mile and how that happens. I guess there's some pilots that Walmart's doing in Denver. How do you think that's gonna change the dynamic if they get to a really efficient solution for last mile delivery?
In the last 5 years, Amazon built 50 facilities. Their goal is to basically hit 50% of all households with same day delivery. The last mile, I think, is critical. If you were to look today around every Walmart store, you're going to see, on average, 17 small format stores within a 10-minute drive time.
Right.
Very convenient. So I think what we're seeing is a little bit of sort of the whale and barnacles, if you will, where the big whale is situated here, and all of these other stores are surrounding it and cutting off convenience and quick trips and using devices like promotions and that type of activity to drive those, and different types of category offerings right. to drive those to their stores. So I think that it's important for Walmart to explore those convenient opportunities, mm-hmm. and I think digital will play a big role, but I think we're in the early days of the dogfight.
Right. Right, it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. Fernando, yes. thanks very much for coming on today. These are some really exciting insights. It's a very dynamic time. In many ways, it seems like the golden age of retail.
It is.
And the role that data plays seems to be ever-present and even more important.
And I'll just one plug, if you don't
sure.
mind, which
sure.
is we will be having a thought leadership conference in Northwest Arkansas on October 15th to talk about the small format and digital proliferation. And you can contact Suzanne.Wagner at IRIWorldwide.com to find out more.
That's very timely and a great resource. Thanks again for coming
My pleasure.
On today.
Thank you.
Stay tuned, everybody. The remainder of Saturday morning meeting will continue shortly.
CaseStack, the leader in collaborative retail consolidation programs. We offer the supply chain expertise needed to navigate the challenges of selling products with the world's largest retailers. And we provide customers with a customizable, scalable, environmentally sustainable supply chain with the same advanced technology typically used by larger rivals. By leveling the playing field, CaseStack lowers distribution costs and increases overall margins. CaseStack, retail logistics is what we do.
Are you a single parent struggling to meet your family's needs? Single Parent Scholarship Fund is here to help. Single Parent Scholarship Fund of Northwest Arkansas helps hundreds of single parents get an education. By providing scholarships and support, a brighter future is right around the corner for you and your family.
We should know, in 2007, I graduated with my bachelor's degree in organizational management. Single Parent Scholarship Fund helped make my dream a reality. My kids are so proud of me, and now they declare themselves as college bound.
Bentonville Commerce, less than 1 mile from the Walmart home office. You'll love the convenience, amenities, and customized options Bentonville Commerce offers. For more information or a tour, call 479-200-1112 today.
Bentonville Plaza, across the street from the Walmart home office. The best office location offers proximity and services like no other business complex in the area. Call 479-200-1112 today.
My colleagues and I were lucky enough to have a custom course put together for us by Ethan Walden, IRS, our instructor. It focused on all the different aspects of what an analyst might need from retailing to work with Walmart. I think what surprised me most is that there were so many things that I had not been using in Retail Link that would be valuable for me and that I hadn't attempted to use yet. And also just some tips and shortcuts. Iris has a lot of experience and she knows how to help you find things that are going to help you do your work.
Up next, we'll meet Steve Jadida of Continental Mills. Steve shares how they brought Red Lobster Cheddar Bay biscuits from the baskets of restaurant tables to the shelves of the biggest retailers. Today we're here with Steve Jadida of Continental Mills to talk about taking a popular product from the baskets of a favorite chain restaurant to the shelves of Walmart. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks, Andy.
Hey, it's
a pleasure to be here.
It's good to be here. So tell us a little bit about your company. How did Continental Mills start? Tell us a little bit about how that all began.
Well, it's a true American success story, Andy. The company was founded in 1932 by a ladies' bridge club in Seattle. They were looking for the just first add water pancake mix, and hence the brand name, Crust and Ease of Use, Crusties.
Okay, so Crusties was a Continental brand.
Okay.
That's right. And the ownership of the company actually bought the company in the late 40s, early 50s. The owner of our company, his father was a door-to-door dress salesman.
Dress salesman for women?
For women.
Okay.
Just like the old Fuller Brush.
Yep. Yeah.
Right. Went door to door, got to know these ladies and their pie crust mix and bought up all their shares over a period of time. Now he owns over 95% of the company. And his son is the heir apparent, Andy, who spent some time out in the marketplace in our marketing department and manufacturing and so forth. He's learned all the ropes and he'll succeed John, who's our president. Now John's biggest accomplishment out of many that he's had, was that he was contacted by the folks that build the Alaskan oil pipeline. And he developed with the University of Washington food scientists the first just add water pancake mix to support the Alaskan pipeline.
To support for the people that worked on it?
For the people that worked on it, yeah.
Wow, now that would have been back in
Late like, 70s, early 80s, I guess. Okay. I'm kind of dating myself there, but.
So been around for a long time. So Krusty's is one of the brands that Continental Mills has. What else is Continental Mills?
We have some licensing brands with Ghirardelli. Okay. One of our newest, of course, is Red Lobster Biscuit.
What's the difference between a licensing brand and just Krusty's is a brand that you guys own?
Right. We own the Krusty's brand. Okay. The licensing brand, we typically pay a royalty fee to the company that owns the brand.
Okay.
And we produce the product for them.
Gotcha. But you guys work on the development of the product, putting it together, some of that stuff?
And we do. They have their own set of standards, and we have to meet those standards as well. And typically, we don't partner with just anyone. They typically look for people that uphold the highest standards, so that's why we've been fortunate enough to.
As a dominant force in the baking and breakfast category, what challenges do you face with your products?
I think typical of most CPG manufacturers, we're always looking for new innovation. Mm-hmm. We're always looking how to get the product.
And that word always seems to keep coming up every time. Absolutely. I talk with suppliers, and it's kind of a theme for good companies that continue to have innovation.
It is. It's the lifeblood of the industry. I mean. Mm-hmm. How many products actually make it over a period of a year? You know, I mean, it's a very, very small percentage. So we have to, as a smaller mid-tier company, be much more selective, too, in terms of what we put in the funnel and what we actually commercialize.
So your customers are bakers, and what's kind of the story? Who's your customer?
Typically, folks that think they're doing scratch baking, but okay. That's evolved over the years. Typically, someone that wants to add one to two or three different pieces into their mix and deliver to their family something that has that aroma, that homey kind of comfort food type of feeling.
Okay.
So it's could be indulgent. It could be a breakfast item. That's typically.
Good. So Red Lobster Cheddar Bay Biscuits. This has been a huge hit over the last few years. Tell us a little bit about that and how you brought it to Walmart, how you brought that innovation. Just share the story.
Well, we've had a long-standing relationship with Darden Restaurants, who was, at the time, the owner of Red Lobster Restaurants, and they own a number of different other restaurant chains like Bahama Breeze and Grill 23, Olive Garden, for instance.
Okay.
And we supplied the mix for their in-restaurant biscuit mix.
Okay, so not only are you doing retail, but you're also doing food service.
That's right. Okay. The company set up essentially as a, if you were to look at a three-legged stool, if you would, we have a very well-developed food service business, we have a club business, and then a regular retail business as well. And we try to capitalize on the synergies within each of those businesses to bring new products to market.
So being diversified like that really allows you to come up with innovation.
Yes.
And then take that innovation. So what kind of determines taking an innovative product like that to retail? What's the process? That's got to be.
There's a stage gate process that we have in place that we vet different products. There's financial hurdles that we have in place, and also the fact that you have a good licensing partner if it tends to be in the area of licensing. But there's a lot of research with consumers that takes place on the marketing side of the business as well. So we vet it out very, very well.
But what makes you decide, hey, this one will work. This one will work at retail.
We typically try to find that gap, that white space for the consumer. Is there a need out there for the consumer?
And to find that need, are you guys doing focus study groups? Are you going out and asking consumers?
CRTs, focus groups.
CRTs, what's that?
Typically control groups that we do through the internet where we have a core base of users that we've typically buy our products that we use on the internet, and they kind of confirm or not confirm whether or not the proposition should move forward with us. So
you've had a number of products that you thought might work, but you decided not to take to retail.
Yeah, we had some great products. One of my favorite was what we call Pull Apart, which was essentially a cinnamon roll, but
it really
confused the consumer, and we decided it wasn't right to bring to market. So.
Well, this is great. You know, before we learn how consumers reacted to having the legendary cheddar biscuits available in retail, let's take a quick break. Saturday morning meeting will continue shortly.
GigWalk is an on-demand mobile workforce that can collect data and do work at retail. Businesses use GigWalk for retail audits, merchandising, and much more. With 350,000 smartphone-enabled workers available on demand, you get unprecedented speed and coverage across the U.S., Canada, and the U.K., and all work is reviewed for quality and accuracy. Visit GigWalk.com to learn more.
Bentonville Plaza, across the street from the Walmart home office. The best office location offers proximity and services like no other business complex in the area. Call 479-200-1112 today.
Every day, shoppers are bombarded with traditional brand messages outside the store in hopes that these marketing dollars will drive in-store sales. Closure Media drives retail sales by connecting brands with 95 million Walmart shoppers per year while they are in the store. Through innovative programs at Walmart's photo and money centers, Closure Media converts Walmart shoppers to purchasers of your brand. With reported redemption rates up to 7 times the national FSI average, Closure Media drives sales. For more info, visit us at closuremedia.com.
Become a smarter supplier. Take 8th and Walton's Beginning Retail Link class. Designed for both the beginner and the super wanting a refresher, this course takes a hands-on approach to the most common aspects of Retail Link. In this one-day course, you'll learn how to navigate Retail Link with ease, how to personalize your dashboard, and how to build a basic query. Become a smarter supplier. Contact 8th and Walton today.
And we're back with Steve Jadida of Continental Mills. Steve, so we were talking about the cheddar biscuits and really kind of the beginning of them, how they kind of came to market. You went out and did your focus study groups. You found out that consumers said what?
That there was a need for a product like Cheddar Bay Biscuit. They felt that the current offerings weren't fulfilling their needs and we should endeavor to get into that category.
And so the consumer said, hey, I'm willing to take this home. I'll put water in it, I'll bake it, I want it fresh like that?
Yeah, they want to recreate the restaurant experience in home. And I think this, you know, especially with the current or past recession, I guess, people were really concerned about going to the restaurant with a family of four, the dollars they were spending. This gave them the opportunity to jump on a similar experience, but do it in the comfort of their own home.
Fill the kids up with, you know, 5 or 6 biscuits, and then they eat very little of the other food, right?
Yeah, we're hoping for 10 to 20, but
exactly. And these biscuits are incredible, by the way. I know my wife and I, we bought them and kind of had that same experience. It's like, hey, we don't mind taking these home and baking them in the oven and doing this whole thing, and they really do taste a lot like the restaurant.
Yeah, you have to have them warm.
Oh, yeah. No, they're very good. Very good.
Thank you.
So what happened? How did you get Walmart then to jump on board? And were they the first one, or was it Sam's Club, or who was the first one?
Actually, it was Sam's Club. Again, Darden being the key driver behind the distribution of the product to the market. They had a similar experience with Olive Garden salad dressings.
Okay, I remember seeing that in Sam's Club.
Yep,
okay.
Did very well as well. And they're very concerned about the impact to the restaurants. Would it cannibalize any of the restaurant sales? So
now, does a restaurant sell a retail pack? Or are you talking about just
the... Just in terms of the general restaurant offering. You know, biscuits are on every table, at every meal, at Red Lobster, and they wanted to make sure there wasn't any intrusion on those sales that they had in the restaurants. But, it's more of a test and learn kind of process for them, I think.
Okay.
And this year we're rolling it to rest of market as well. So baby steps, but I think it exceeded everyone's expectations.
So Sam's Club, when you came up with your innovation and started developing this for retail, so you had to come up with the packaging. You already had I'm assuming you already had the recipe, right? Mm-hmm, so that was already pretty much decided what that was gonna be. Mm-hmm. Then it was a matter of figuring out which size offerings, as far as how many biscuits you can bake up. What else kind of went into that process?
You know, the marketing support is typically a crucial element of this as well.
Okay, the marketing side?
Right, supply chain certainly, planning, procurement, making sure that we have ample raw materials available. I have to really kudos to not only our supply chain folks, but our R&D folks who worked, you know, a significant amount of hours making sure the product is right to the Darden standard. It matched the restaurant perfectly. And the supply chain folks, I mean, we, from a manufacturing standpoint alone, went to 7 days a week, 3 shifts.
You had to change what the company had been doing in the past.
Yeah, I mean, we made some capital investments on machinery as well. We extended.
Was all this planned from the beginning?
No,
or
it was.
Did it just kind of happen as the success of the product was there?
Yeah, I mean, it did not just happen.
Right.
It took a lot of effort. We thought it was going to be about a $10 million opportunity at Walmart, but it turned out to be substantially more. It was probably double that within a short period of time. So
what did it do to the category? I mean,
typically you expect some level of cannibalization, but in this case, it actually grew the category by 80%, and it only cannibalized at 20%. And It became, after 13 weeks, the number one item in the category.
That's incredible. I mean, that just doesn't happen very often.
No, it doesn't.
Have you ever seen anything like that?
I have to tell you, I was thinking about this earlier today, but it is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I've never been associated with anything that rocketed to the top. Right now, it's the number sixth item nationally in total U.S. in baking, and that's with only about 50% penetration. And so it's just getting into rest of market.
So the ACV
as well.
Is only at 50%?
Only at 50%. Wow. So you can imagine the impact it's had.
It's changed the category. Having a brand like Red Lobster, you didn't really have to go sell Red Lobster. You didn't have to teach people what Red Lobster was about.
Exactly.
People already knew that, and they already knew what these biscuits tasted like.
Yeah, certainly the advertising that they do continually has benefited the product as well.
Yeah.
The merchandising that Walmart provided was outstanding. That drove a lot of the incremental and some of the impulse purchases. So it was just a win-win.
So this was your innovation a year ago?
A year ago.
And what does Walmart usually say? What have you done for me lately?
Oh, exactly.
So what's happening lately? What are you working on now?
You know, we tend to look at our innovation in three separate buckets. It tends to be rapid, moderate, and then methodical. And the rapid tends to be one-off type of items. It might be a seasonal, on-trend kind of item. Mm-hmm. Moderate tends to be a little bit more of a line extension proposition.
Okay, different size packaging,
maybe a different
flavor within that
exactly,
line.
Exactly, okay. Exactly. But the methodical tends to be larger platforms. So we're working in all areas right now. In fact, we're looking at a big launch probably in 16, outside of our typical baking mix business, but more in the better for you arena, if you would. So.
And you're one of the leaders within this category.
Yep.
Baking, breakfast, within that category.
Yeah, we have a one and two position in most of the products.
So Walmart's going to come to suppliers like you to help, and usually, typically, you guys are involved in a JBP process or some kind of a process that Walmart has that helps with innovation and other things like that?
Yep, we're very proud of the fact that we've been asked to participate in the JBP process at Walmart. Good learning for the organization as a whole. Typically, you know, in a selling proposition, it typically tends to be sales and marketing, but this allows me as an advocate for the marketplace to drag all the other disciplines of the organization within the whole proposition and support it, whether it's R&D or planning or manufacturing and procurement. So it's an all hands on deck kind of approach.
It's great getting the entire company involved too.
It really is.
Well, Steve, thank you so much for coming in. You know, Continental Mills sharing this whole story with the Red Lobster cheddar biscuits. We're so excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much for coming in.
All right,
it's been a pleasure.
Yeah. All right, we'll be right back to the Saturday morning meeting. We'll continue right after this.
Bentonville Commerce, less than 1 mile from the Walmart home office. You'll love the convenience, amenities, and customized options Bentonville Commerce offers. For more information or a tour, call 479-200-1112 today.
I would recommend 8th and Walton to other suppliers because from my experience talking to other suppliers, they were even learning new ideas or just new and better business practices.
Most people have little time for training, and so 8th and Walton is a perfect opportunity to send your new employees to understand the retailing system. And again, because trainers were suppliers, they know the how and the why, so they become very valuable very quickly.
Are you a single parent struggling to meet your family's needs? Single Parent Scholarship Fund is here to help. Single Parent Scholarship Fund of Northwest Arkansas helps hundreds of single parents get an education. By providing scholarships and support, a brighter future is right around the corner for you and your family.
We should know, in 2007, I graduated with my bachelor's degree in organizational management. Single Parent Scholarship Fund helped make my dream a reality. My kids are so proud of me, and now they declare themselves as college bound.
Our thanks to all of today's guests. Join us next week for a special extended segment of Swimming in a Sea of Data. Jeff Amerine talks to the Sustainability Consortium's Dr. John Johnson and Dr. Sarah Lewis about the sustainability movement. Now, we'll also speak to board members of the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation on how suppliers can get involved in the heart of business in Northwest Arkansas. As always, we appreciate your taking the time to join us. If you have questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. I'm Andy Shook, and from all of us at Saturday Morning Meeting, thanks for watching.